my group, separate from Riley's group, we have built 3 4 market rate projects in the last 4 years, equally over the last 4 years. Okay? All of them cost between half and 60% of this. Okay? What I'm telling you, the per unit cost was between half and 60%. Now, cost went up just a little bit, but all these projects were built in the last 4 years. The Bluffview project was 11,270,000, 48 units, 234,000. So the same thing. Okay? What I'm saying is we're spending so much money, okay? And that's what takes, and when you have, and law requires that it has to be based on the income approach. Okay? So you might say, well, shoot, fire, it ought to be higher. But the point is our revenue is so small and we got these higher costs that's talking about our risk. And that's why the law requires that it's based on the cap rate.
How much did you say the Fall Creek was?
The Fall Creek was $8,688,000 for 30 units. $289,622 a unit. So what I'm saying is, why are the costs higher? You might say, how come they're higher? Believe me, there's plenty of scrutiny. Right? If you think that you can get one of these projects for, there's all the projects that are done in the state every year. There, for every project that gets selected throughout the state, only 3 are submitted through MHDC. Only 1 is selected. And it's based on need and cost. So these numbers that I'm talking about, they're reasonable. Because that's one of the primary characteristics of they point them, okay? But what it does, when you limit the revenue, okay, and you have more cost, it means our risks are higher. And that, when risk is higher, the cap rate ought to be higher, and that's why we earnestly disagree with the assessor's assessment that it ought to be closer to the market rate, because it shouldn't be, okay, for all the reasons that I just said. One of the reasons they are hired, just so everybody can say, well, why do they do that? Well, they do it because they want to make sure that it's fair because they're using public money. So, for example, those 2 projects and every project that's represented by this income approach, every single unit has to be ADA compliant. And it's not just every unit. Every building does. So when you make a transition from building A to building B, it has to be ADA compliant. In Branson, Missouri, when you have rock, that's expensive. The thing that Riley and Mark are going to tell you is that we have to have audits every year, and we have to have them reviewed every year, and the administrative cost is higher. Okay? One of the other side, there's lots of regulations. Just like when you go to make your permit, you can't start the process until you have all the applications and the requirement, the appraisal, the feasibility study. There's another study. There's a gray bat. And every time before you start even working on plans or before you tear a tree down, you got to have a gray bat survey. That costs money, and it takes time. So, anyway, do you have any questions? Thank you.
We've got some questions. I got a couple questions. One is your thoughts on what I understand you think the assessor's is too low, cap rate. Tell me, and you've told us why you think that's too low. What do you think of what she's provided?
What do we think of what she's provided, or what do we think is that report?
In other words, yeah, the off the Fannie Mae side, the CoStar stuff. What's your thought?
We don't think it's a good comp for a few reasons. One, there's not enough transactions to even get a comp off LIHTC properties that are this early in the compliance period, meaning even years 1 through 12 or even 15. The ones that we saw in that report are much older than that. And we suspect the cap rates are the way they are for a couple reasons. They're major markets, Nashville, Houston, Dallas, those sorts of markets. And their in-place cap rates. So that's a property that all the restrictions are rolling off in 2 years. It may transact at a 6 cap because in 2 years they don't have any restrictions on their revenue and they could take it to market rents. Well, in Nashville, that's a pretty big deal. And you take a market and then they stabilize at a 12 cap. And that's worth the risk to them to accept a lower going in cap rate because they think eventually the market's going to take care of their rents. And 2-3 years from now, they'll be at a 10, 12, 14 cap rate stabilized. So I think our opinion of that report is it's not a good comp. It's not a good comp for the timing we're in, the market we're in, for those two reasons mainly.
How is the data different here than, say, off the one you gave us, the realtorrates.com? In other words, there's a substantial difference in what they think the cap rate should be based on national data surveys. What do you think accounts for that drastic difference?
I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the realtor rates exhibit.
I think you guys provided it to us last time. You gave us a sheet that said 10 point.
I can't hear.
Mark provided it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not familiar with it, but
what is the difference? His question is, what's the difference with the realtor rates that
you've
given last time?
It's realtorrates.com. I think they gave it to us. Somebody gave us some printout from realtorrates.com that had 10 points something.
Yeah.
I was just curious. Both of them look like they analyze it, you know, just broadly national Midwest, but there's a huge difference here. And we're being, you know, obviously we're being asked. We've done, and I'm going to talk, you know, generally here in a minute about what, as a board, we kind of looked at ourselves to try to figure some of this out. But I'm just asking, what do you think the huge disparity is in, say, this and, say, realtorrates.com, which puts you up in the area that you're talking about, which is the 10.0?
Well, I think the difference is, I mean, it's the two things. The market's meaningful, but the timing of where the property sits is really meaningful because the value is really dictated by the amount of restrictions that are on it because, it adds a lot of risk. And the time horizon in terms of the investment time frame is very long. If you're going to invest in a property in year two or three of its, you know, place in service date,
Think these are measuring two different things?
Yes. I think that those are year 16-plus transactions in terms of how old those assets are, which is meaningful. Yeah, they're older than our new one. However, they have a clear path to taking it to market rate rents, which from a risk standpoint makes a world of difference. And I think that the reason the cap rates are lower than, you know, sub 7% is because I'd be willing to accept a 6% interest rate yield on my money, knowing in 2 to 3 years all those restrictions are going to wear off and I'm in a very big market. And those market rents, the difference between my in-place rents the day I'm buying it and the current market rents is maybe $600, maybe even bigger than that. And that's very meaningful. I guess our point is, if someone purchased this property from us today, which they can't do, but if they did, they have only a capped upside next year. Maybe they get a 3% raise or 7% if it's allowable. However, they're reliant on a third party to make that judgment. It's not up to them. And then they also have national caps, which they cannot go above. And I think those, they have no caps that they can go wherever they want. Whatever the market determines, that's where they can go. And that's why there's a big difference between the two.
Dan, where did this article come from?
There's an attachment that shows all the references.
I've got sources down here. Was this in an investment magazine of some sort?
I pulled it off the internet.
Okay.
I pulled two of those court cases up and read them.
And I guess, you know, going back to cap rate, really what we're trying to show is, if anything, the backstop, the lowest the cap rate should be, you know, Dan mentioned mezzanine financing and how it should be as high as that. I agree with that. But at a minimum, the backstop, if someone were to buy Fall Creek Townhomes, 7.5% is probably market or slightly under market in terms of cap rate for Branson. That'd be an $807,000 purchase price. And so to get to that same value, because we don't believe the assessed value should be higher than the market value, you'd have to be at a 9.76 cap off the NOI for assessment purposes, which excludes real estate taxes, to get to the 807. So I think the minimum, that's the highest value we should have. I think Dan made a point about how the cap rate should be towards mezzanine financing, and I think that, that there's a strong argument for that as well, which is higher than 9.7%.
Do you really make the decision to go in these based on rents? I mean, aren't these properties, and I'm just asking the question,
yeah,
isn't this more about the capital credits?
Well, the credits are how they're capitalized to get them built in the first place. And there is a benefit to them. It's separate from what the property is worth. But, I mean, no, the incentive is to provide affordable housing to the market. You get a developer fee in return for doing that. That's the main incentive for a developer to want to go in and do
this.
But
isn't that fee in the form of capital credits?
No. That fee is a dollar fee capitalized into the project. The credits, to build these dimensions, the cost is very high. To charge the rents, we have to have very little debt on these projects to make them work, sometimes 20-30% of the total capital stack. And so the rest is equity. To get that equity, you're typically finding a bigger institution to pay for the credits because they have a big tax liability. And they're getting those credits over a 10-year period. That's like companies like State Farm, just insurance companies, people have big tax liability. And so their incentive is to get the credits. That's really detached from what the property is. The property generates it so we can create affordable housing, but they're really not the same thing, if that makes sense.
And I think us as a board, I mean, we all appreciate what Dan and you and other people like you do, because we got to have the housing. We understand that.
Right.
Okay. But on the flip side, when we've had conversations with bankers and things like that, I mean, we're getting a cap rate more in the area of 8 is what they're telling us. And so, I mean, that's different than theirs, but it's also different than yours.
Is that a cap rate, just market cap rate?
No, on these kinds of projects.
And I guess my comment to that would be the transactions that a banker would see would be post-15-year period because they don't transact prior to that. And I think that if you look at the days that these projects were built in that CoStar report, they're all sub 2010. And
the bank doesn't get involved until year what?
A bank to see a transaction of a sale of one of these properties wouldn't happen until that property is at least 15 years older or older. And that's meaningful because of the illustration where we show you how the cap rate trends towards market.
So they get involved when somebody can, when you go and sell it.
Right. If when it gets recapitalized as an investment for someone who's looking to make an investment in affordable housing, they may be subject to one or two things, but then they're not subject to near the restrictions that we are at day one.
And we don't know the cap rate, of course, that you have when you bought it.
Right? We built it. So we didn't buy it off cap rate. And as Dan mentioned.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, yeah.
Yeah.
So my comment really is there's really not a comp set to reference for this type of age of a project because there are no transactions for them. And the transactions are hard to compare that are 15 years or older that happen because who knows what it's going to be nuanced per deal, number one. And they could be bought because restrictions wear off in 3 years and there is a gap between the current rents and market rents. And it may warrant a lower cap rate because of that huge spread that's going to happen in 2.5-3 years. So it's not a good comparable, I guess, is my comment.
Okay. I want to obviously let you respond in any way you want to, but does the board have any other questions right now?
When it comes to replacement reserves, are those restricted accounts?
Yes, they are.
So
yeah.
You can't touch the money at
we
all.
Can't touch them.
Okay.
And
when can you access that cash?
Only for eligible expenses, which the state agency, MHCC, has to approve of.
Okay.
And it's required both in your loan docs from your permanent lender and the state agency that you set those asides annually.
Okay.
Jerry, do you have any?
No, not yet.
All right. I want to let the assessor ask any questions or make any comments.
I just wanted to comment a couple things. There has to be some sort of incentive for investing in these. I mean, you put money into it and a lot of time and effort, and so there's got to be a return on investment. I know that some of these are older, and when you sign the contract, you're signing that LURA for, what, 15 years? And then I've noticed that all of our older ones have